This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. After scores of debates, endless campaign stops across the state, and stumping nearly 24/7, the candidates for governor cast their votes first thing this morning. Republican Charlie Baker headed to his Swampscott polling place with his wife Lauren and his 19-year-old son. The Baker family was greeted by a team of reporters.
Are you glad?
Good morning.
It's a little more exciting today. This was a great opportunity to vote for what I've been talking about for the last 15 months.
Deval Patrick and his wife and daughter were also up early. They cast their ballots in their hometown of Milton. The governor spoke to the press after he voted.
Today is about getting the vote out, and I want to encourage everybody to come out and vote. If you can't vote for me, vote for somebody, because the democracy is stronger when people participate.
Independent candidate Tim Cahill and Jill Stein of the Green Rainbow Party were out campaigning last night and encouraged everyone to visit their polling places. Joining us now to talk about what could be a record voter turnout is Secretary of State William Galvin. Secretary Galvin, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be with you.
So what are voter turnout numbers so far today based on what you're seeing and hearing?
Well, they've been pretty encouraging, particularly in the suburbs and particularly in those places that are in contested congressional races. For instance, in Brookline, we've had a very high turnout already today. That's the 4th District. The town of Franklin, which is in the 3rd District, 3rd Congressional District, they felt they were going to go very high. As early as this morning, they were well over 3,500, which would be very high for them. Andover is another community that is experiencing a high turnout. Marshfield, 25%, had voted at 11:45 this morning. So that's in the 10th, which is probably one of the most contested congressional districts.
Right, that's a Jeff Perry, Bill Keating race.
That's correct. So I think that we're seeing the highest turnouts of those areas that have both congressional races and, of course, the statewide races.
And, of course, we don't know yet what the numbers will do when the after-work voters stream into polls, but I imagine
right.
We'll see another big bump then.
Well, if anything, the weather's improved. It was a little cool this morning and cloudy, and it's, for the most part, it seems to have improved a bit. Another weather is a factor. I think, in general, motivation here is largely because of the, in a sense, the nationalization of the elections. As I said earlier, I think the fact that these congressional races are going on, and that's unusual for us in Massachusetts to have so many contested congressional districts at the same time, I think has, in a sense, nationalized the election. People recognize that the control of Congress is at stake here, and the issues that people are speaking to really are more of a national nature.
You've said you expect possible record voter turnout. I think the number you threw out was... say that again?
For a gubernatorial
election. Gubernatorial. Okay, so then you said as many as 2.4 million ballots
right.
statewide.
Yes.
I believe, now is it correct that the highest gubernatorial turnout before then would have been 1990, which was the Bill Weld-John Silber race?
That's right, and that was 2.4.
That was 2.4.
And we're basing that projection based upon the fact that we saw extraordinary activity in the absentee balloting, which is usually a pretty good indicator, just as an example. In January, we had 107,000 absentee ballots cast before the special Senate election, and we did over 2.2, almost 2.3. In 2008, we had 181,000 absentee ballots. That's the presidential election, and we did our all-time record of 3.1 million. Obviously, the 135 that we ended up with for this is in the middle, so that's the basis of our belief that we'll see that kind of turnout, 2-4, maybe a little better if the support is sustained through the day.
And so for the Bill Weld-John Silber race in 1990, that was a big turnout, but you think today's gubernatorial turnout could beat that one?
Could be. We have more registered voters. We've been very successful in raising the number of registered voters. We have over 4 million eligible voters today. Now, bear in mind that some of those folks are what we call inactive voters. Those are people who were on the rolls but haven't shown up for a while. They may well have left, but we are required under federal law to maintain them on the rolls. Nevertheless, even amongst our active voters, we have a very high number. And, I'm optimistic, given the weather and everything else, that we're going to see a good turnout. I think the reinforcement of these other races, not just the governor's race, but the other races, in particular the congressional races, has been very instrumental in getting people out to vote.
And how does today, by the way, compare to 4 years ago when Deval Patrick won, if you remember at what stage we were at this time of day 4 years ago?
Well, I tried to project it to a time of day. The total turnout in 06 was 2.2. which is a very static number for gubernatorial races. In 2002, when Romney won, it was 2.2 also. So that 2.2 is a pretty stable number for gubernatorial races. This, I think, will exceed that. And because of, as I said, of these other factors that were not present in either 06 or 02.
And one of the messages you're also trying to get out, I believe, is that the ballot has two sides this year, so people have to flip it in every case.
Yes,
is that right?
Well, it has two sides because of three questions. We had the dilemma of either making two cards for every voter, which in the past we found not to be that satisfactory. People forget the second card. It gets confusing for voters. So we were left with having three questions, one of which is rather lengthy, to put on the card. So question two on many ballots will start on the front of the card and then go over to the back. Now, it says vote both sides, and it says continue to vote. In fact, in many ballots, you can't vote on question two unless you flip it over. The actual place where you mark the yes or no is there. But we want to emphasize to people they need to flip over the back of the card to make sure they vote on all questions.
Secretary of State Bill Galvin, thanks for giving us this update.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So that's what's happening with voter turnout so far today. And here to bring us some voices of those people out voting today is Radio Boston's Adam Ragusea. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Sasha. Happy Election Day. We've got WBUR reporters all over the state interviewing voters and sending in tape all day long. And I talked to some of the folks at my polling place, which is Cambridge City Hall. A lot of diehard but discouraged Democrats there.
Can I get your names?
Alan Mann.
Suzanne Mann.
We're Democratic, yeah.
Across
the board, nobody tempted you on the other side?
No.
We've been Cambridgeites for many years, and we're very happy with Patrick, and we're fortunate in Massachusetts. We're worried more about the rest of the country.
Indeed.
My name is Jason Slavik, and I'm a theater director.
You feeling fired up today, or was it kind of
I'm feeling really depressed today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because the Dems are going to get creamed around the country. And people are like, oh, the economy's so bad. And yeah, the economy's so bad. But what, you think it was going to be fixed? Like, snap of the fingers? Magically, we elect Obama, we elect the Democrats, boom. Now, magically, everything will be okay. Are you crazy? And, like, our country is filled with crazy people.
Crazy people!
So, Adam, that's the view from Central Square, maybe the predictable Cambridge view. How about somewhere a little less predictable?
Yeah, WBUR's Steve Brown actually lives down in East Bridgewater, which went for Scott Brown earlier this year by 70%. Went for McCain in 08, Kerry Healy for governor in 06, but by much smaller margins, those two. And here's what folks down there told him.
Brian Hanley. How you doing? I'm Steve Brown with WBUR in Boston. I also live in East Bridgewater. I'm just asking folks, don't tell me who you voted for governor, but what was it that made you choose who you chose?
For governor, it was the qualifications of the candidate. You know, I'll tell you who I voted for. I voted for Charlie Baker because of his business background and his record of know-how and running a business and turning a business around and making it successful.
Drenda Hayward. I think the state needs a change, so I voted different this year. I voted for Baker. I just think Deval Patrick didn't do much for our state, in my opinion, and I just think we need a change.
What's your name?
Jake. Don't tell me off the bat who you voted for governor, but why did you make the pick you made?
It can't get any worse than the current situation.
Okay, who did you vote for?
Patrick.
It sounds like a lukewarm vote.
It is the lesser of all evils.
So those voices that Steve Brown collected for us down in East Bridgewater sound largely like middle-aged, older voters. Do we have any feedback from younger voters?
Our intern, a trooper that he is, Jason Breslow, went over to the Fenway and kindly asked a bunch of 20-somethings there how they voted or if they voted.
Hi, I'm Amelia Belvay. I'm 20 years old. I usually do vote and stuff, but I think there's an overall lower morale in the way everything's going, so maybe it's not as exciting to go out and vote.
Hi, I'm Elaine Jaber. I'm 19, and I did not vote today. I know it's important, but I feel like politicians are such liars. When they get elected, they just break so many promises.
My name is Alex Mendoza. I'm 20 years old. No, I was just so caught up in schoolwork, I never really got around to it, I guess. I think just the media in general is a lot of times it's very misleading and everything. So it's tough to really say who's telling the truth out there and who's not. So it's like I'll watch Family Guy instead.
I'm Kayla. I'm 20 years old and I didn't vote. It's so hard to hear the full story with any of the candidates ever running for anything, and you never know how informed you really are just based off all of those commercials. And it's just so hard to figure out what is right and what you should do and who you should vote for.
Oh, Adam, he's going to watch Family Guy instead of vote. This is terrible. It's all negative. It's all disillusionment.
It just fills me with a really deep sense of professional failure, doesn't it?
Oh, like, it's sad.
Well, it's not all bad. So here's Michael Rice, who we talked to. He's a senior at Hampshire College. He drove 2.5 hours from Amherst back home to Hingham today just to vote, and here's what he says.
I'm proud to be an American. I think that the youth needs to get out and vote. I don't think that we have to remain stagnant just because we had this big turnout in, you know, 2 years ago in the presidential election. Doesn't mean we have to stop now. I'm an enthusiastic American. That's all I can say, I guess.
Okay, my spirits are lifted.
Yeah.
Radio Boston's Adam Ragusa, thanks a lot for
you
that.
You bet.
Stay with us. Coming up after a short break, the Massachusetts Hospital Association has decided to reject job seekers who smoke, even if they only smoke in the privacy of their homes. And the MHA would like other employers to follow its lead. But is it fair to deny someone employment for this kind of private behavior? We'll be taking your calls at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.